Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
What the heck kind of ominous sign was that? We don't talk about it.
Not the way you should want to start your week.
All right, so we're going to play a little game of high-low here in a second, our highlight and low-light from the weekend. Burt's going to be out for a good portion of the week because he's with his son, Hollis, on his senior trip. So for a lot of people, it's winter break this week. I feel like kids are out of school constantly now. We got a winter break. We got a spring break. We got a fall break. Now you get the whole week of Thanksgiving off. So it's winter break for a lot of peeps. Jimmy's actually out of school too, but we paid to put him in camp so we can, you know, have time. Anyway, so I'm like, all right, cool. If he's going to be out for a good portion of the week, I'm going to sit in his seat so I have a better vantage point of the team so I can see directly. You know, I can look right into Mo's eyes. I can look right into Abby's eyes. When we have a guest come in, Mo's not coming to my back. That makes sense. I'm giving you, like, I'm pulling the curtain back here for you guys. And then Bert has a computer screen where there's two buttons. One, I can decide when we need to wrap up the break, and I can hit that without having to press my button and talk in Katie's ear. It'll simplify. And also, I can hit a button to get us right into E-Buzz when I'm ready to get out of another break. I'm like, as I'm driving, I'm like, I got a plan, man.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to crush this week. When Dad's away, the kids are going to play. We're also going to get some S done. I sit down at Bert's mic. Within 2 seconds of sitting there, the mic broke.
That thing really broke, like broke off.
Like broke. Like mm-hmm. There's a piece of plastic that you can't just like tie it back on. It's laying there. Very sad. And so I don't know what kind of omen that is, man.
But maybe the positive here is you don't need as much strength training as you thought you did.
Yeah, okay, Incredible Hulk.
Right?
Yeah, watching it go down, it looked like a little balloon just running out of air. It just went and slapped the ground.
So I'm sitting in my seat until we can get an engineer here to figure that out. But maybe that area of the room was just like, nah, B, you ain't ready for this seat.
Too much power in that seat.
You need to stay where you belong. All right, so Abby, your high-low of the weekend.
So my high of the weekend was sitting in front of my laptop for 7 hours yesterday because you've heard me talk about this before. I'm going to Greece in September with a bunch of ladies, and there's nothing that scratches my brain more than making a reservation. I don't know what it is. I love to plan. I love to figure out the best spot in whatever city we're going to, whatever island we're going to be on.
You love a good itinerary, don't you?
I love an itinerary, and I love a Google review. I love photos, and there's just something so satisfying as to like planning something. Like you're going to plan a trip and you're just thinking about, oh, I think everyone's going to love this place. And I can picture that person standing on that table and getting that drink and loving that item on the menu. And so I just really dove into Pinterest and just planned out some of the unfinished parts of the itinerary for my Greece trip. And so that was a lot of fun because I love sitting on the couch too. And then my low for the week is probably something I'm going to talk about, I think, today. It's on the schedule for today. But I had a conversation and an email on Saturday that really just sent me into such a tizzy that I ended up canceling all my fun plans. So I had a rough Saturday, but a really fun Sunday on the couch.
How about you, Mo? Your high-low.
My highlight of the weekend would be Saturday night, for sure, because I had a few people over. We had a really good time. It was a big fight. It was a lot of big fights, a couple big fights.
Not in your apartment, right?
Not in the apartment. Yeah. No. Boxing matches, some professional fighters doing at it, and that was great. And we finally finished the studio that we all been working on for the past few months. It's ready to go, finally ready for launch. So that would be the highlights. The lowlights would be it took us a lot longer in that day, and we missed some fights in trying to finish the studio because one of my friends promised us that he knows how to paint, and he does not know how to paint at all.
Why is that something you'd flex that you know how to do if you don't?
I don't think he tried to hustle us. I think he really thought he knew. Like, and he discovered dealing with a black wall is a bit different.
Oh, okay. All right, because like when you say paint, you don't mean like paint a mural. You mean just like paint
the wall.
Yeah.
And so we had to move some things around. So he's like, oh, it's just a cover-up job, which I thought it was, too, in his defense. But apparently, when you're dealing with a certain kind of black paint, you can't just cover it up. No. And it's going to be the same shade as the rest of the wall. So we pretty much had to paint the entire wall over it just to fix, like, one little spot that would be on camera. So that wasn't a lot of fun. That was probably the low light, but we got it done in the end.
All right, my high low. I had quite a few highs this weekend, and it all had to do with a lot of first for my son Jimmy, who turns 4 this month.
Oh, he's so old.
So old.
So
Friday was my Friday off. Bert's super kind, and he gives all of us a rotating Friday off, and that was glorious.
You had a great Friday, by the way.
Oh,
that was a great Friday.
That was a goated Friday.
Yes,
was it?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
The Friday after Bert's Big Adventure? Yeah, I don't know. Tracy, I'm like, ah. So I got to sleep in. I went and got myself a massage. And then I went and had a little brunch by myself. So I'm sipping my cappuccino, reading my book. And then after that, I'm like, it's brunch. I only have 2 drinks in front of me. I need at least 3. So I got me a little glass of bubbly. And then I went and picked up my son. And we went out to dinner with our neighbors that night. It was glorious. And then Saturday was Jimmy's first baseball practice.
Oh, yes.
Oh, this small ball. He has no idea what he's doing. He'd rather play in the dirt than try to catch a ball. It was incredible. I loved every second of it. Best part is, when we were driving over there, I was like, all right, my dude, we have 2 goals today. First goal, listen to our coach. Second goal, have fun. And he listened to coach for the most part, and we had fun, and he couldn't wait to do it again. So
that's a good sign.
We're doing good. And then yesterday was Kaylee's daughter's birthday. It was Kiki's birthday. And they had it at Stars and Strikes. So it's an arcade and a bowling, right? So that was Jimmy's first time bowling.
Aww.
It was first time at an arcade. The kid was just living it up this weekend.
Yeah, he had a weekend.
So I was living vicariously through him. Now, I do have an update of some lows, but I feel like we need to stick with the highs here. And so I'm going to save my lows for a little bit later, because we got to talk about the haunted fish tank that I gifted my son for Christmas.
Oh, oh no.
Yeah, we're having some trouble.
The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from
home. And this is why
the Bert
Show's
entertainment buzz.
The mic didn't want you to.
Yeah. No, it didn't. Dang it.
The mic was like, stay in your place. I'm not going to stay in mine, but you stay in yours.
Yeah.
All right, last night was the 97th Annual Academy Awards, a.k.a. the Oscars. And actually, I went over last night to social media producer Rebecca's house. She had an Oscar viewing party. Kind of lit. I was like, we should be doing this more often.
Oh.
So we tuned in, and the first thing that came up on screen was a beautiful performance by Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande, the stars of the movie that everybody was talking about last year, Wicked. Ariana came out in this beautiful red gown. Thank God we have been saved from her constantly wearing pink. I know it's on theme. It washes her out. She looked so stunning in this ruby red slipper looking dress. It was beautiful. It was sparkly. It was gorgeous. And then all of a sudden, these lights descend on her that look like a rainbow. And she's singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And then
stunning.
It was so good.
And then Cynthia Erivo.
I know. So Ariana Grande, she opens it up, and then her castmate, Cynthia Erivo, who plays Elphaba in Wicked, comes out to sing a song called Home from The Wiz.
Okay.
Yes.
Bring us home, Cynthia. Yes. She came out in this gorgeous, gorgeous white gown. I believe it was Vivian Westwood, and it had like some colorful tulle underneath it. It kind of looked like a wedding dress, if a wedding dress was a lot more fun. And then they both joined each other on stage to, of course, sing the song that makes me tear up and cry and get chills every single time, Defying Gravity from Wicked.
Oh, we have to get to the best part.
Oh, the battle cry.
The battle cry.
Is it too late to get the battle cry?
We can save it for another. We'll save it for. Bro. We're going to be talking about Oscars all morning.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We'll save the battle cry for another entertainment buzz. But when I say, if you sat there and watched that, or if you're listening and seeing it like you didn't want to stay up and watch it and you're watching clips today, because she was all over my timeline. Like, I watched it and then she's like, she's everywhere. How can you not get goosebumps when you listen to that woman sing? It is just. It's ethereal is what it is.
It's chilling. Yes. Like watching it, I'm like, oh my God, I've listened to this song 1,000 times. Yes. I saw the movie. I've seen the Broadway play. And yet every time I hear it, it is like it's the first time. And I think it is really something to do with how special Cynthia Erivo's voice is, that you can hear it over and over and over. And every single time it feels like the first time.
And these two, I know they got a substantial amount of crap for the way they handled the press tour for Wicked, right? Because, you know, holding each other's hands and pink and just gushing over each other. There was a lot of tears. There was a lot of emotion. But when you finally learned like what a sisterhood and how these two bonded, I mean, they got multiple tattoos together throughout the process of filming Wicked. And there is one part, and don't get me wrong, spotlight is on Cynthia, right? As she's singing Defying Gravity. But there behind her, you see Ariana Grande. And like, everybody needs to find them a person to look at them the way Ariana Grande was looking at Cynthia Erivo. Like, just this proud and in awe of her friend. And I was like, this is so beautiful. I love it so much.
It was real.
Oh, it was real. Like everything you saw on the press tour was like, it was so authentic. It was the best way to start the show.
Yeah, and I know everyone was kind of giving them some crap about being like overly emotional during the press tour, but honestly, you need two actresses that are obsessed with each other and have a friendship, because that's really what is at the center of Wicked. So I love seeing their friendship on screen and also watching them support each other off the screen as well. It's really sweet. All right, you don't have to wait another hour for E-Buzz, because coming up next, social media producer Rebecca, she actually challenged us all to make predictions for the Oscars, despite the fact that none of us has seen any of the films. So it's coming up next on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
All right, so we did some Oscar predictions last week prior to the Oscars airing last night, and we're going to see who is the best and who is the worst. So this was Rebecca's idea, but she's out today, so she's passed the Oscar baton to Abby. Now, here's the thing. I watched a majority of the Oscars last night, minus the part where I had to pause it, put my son to bed, come back, and try to catch up. And I think two things can be true at the same time. The first thing is, everybody deserves to be recognized. This is film's biggest night. So a lot of these categories, they deserve to have their name read. They deserve to come up on stage and give a heartfelt speech, right? I felt like the people playing the music that normally like runs people off stage, they were all taking naps, because that music never came on all night. They just let people just talk for as long as they freaking wanted. And I'm actually okay with that. At the other time, it was so boring. It was it's always so long and it's so boring. And Conan O'Brien was hosting, and I felt like he did like an okay job. I actually would have liked more of him, or more skits, or more something, because it was just very awards focused. And I got there towards the end, and I really wanted to like stick it out and see who won best film. And I was like, yeah, I'll read it tomorrow in prep.
Well, I love in the beginning, he literally did this entire musical number that was like, I'm not going to waste your time. I'm not going to waste your time. And I'm sitting there like, yeah, get us in, get us out. Because 4 hours of just watching these speeches from movies we didn't even watch, I'm like, we got to get in. We got to get out as fast as possible, even though it dragged on and on and on and on.
It did. And I was actually, because I thought it was going to start at 8. But they started that bad boy at 7:30.
Okay, it's a little better.
Because they knew these people, they're actors. They're going to run their mouths, man.
Which is hysterical when you think about it being in LA and you're like, oh, they're starting at 4 p.m. These people have been up since 8 a.m. getting ready for this red carpet.
Yeah, super early.
So Rebecca, who is our resident cinephile of the show, she watched every single Oscar-nominated film that was nominated for Best Film. And she challenged us to see how we would do in predicting who won the Oscars. So we have the results and they have been tallied. So I say we go through some of the major categories categories, Abby. Okay. And then you can go from worst to best when it comes to our grades and how well we did and how many we got right.
Well, one of us did pretty well. I don't want to say any of us did exceptional, but there's definitely a clear winner here, and there is definitely a clear loser.
Because for understanding, there's 23 categories that we had to go through and choose winners for.
I chose with my heart. This is typically how I do March Madness, where I'm like, who has the prettiest cover? That's the one I'm choosing.
That's how I chose.
Yeah, I didn't choose who I thought was going to win. I chose who I wanted to win.
I didn't even know who I wanted to win.
No, I'm competitive. I was like, who do I think? What's like the most pretentious sounding movie in this list? I'm choosing that one. So, of course, the biggest awards this year, the one that everybody is waiting for at the very end of it, of course, Best Picture, that went to Anora, which had a budget of $6 million, $1 million for every person that went to go see it. And then Best Actor went to Adrian Brody, who had a 5-minute speech. And when they tried to kick him off the stage, he's like, no, I've been here before. Like, let me wrap this up.
Really quick before we jump from Anora, what is Anora about?
Sex workers. I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And actually, I think it was the director that ended up getting an award for it. And he said, you know, I really want to thank the sex worker community because they really walked with me through this entire film. Because obviously, like when you're making a film about a certain community, like you need to be able to get firsthand experiences and really like get their approval. So it was a big part of the filming process. Mm. So for Best Actress, again, Anora, Mikey Madison, the star of that film, got the award. For Best Supporting Actor, I feel like we all kind of knew this one. Kieran Culkin got it for A Real Pain.
I loved his speech, by the way. So that was one of the early awards of the night. He actually gave props to Jeremy Strong, which is his fellow actor from the movie Succession, right? And this is also the guy that was in the Dunkin' Donuts commercial submerging himself in coffee because he's a method actor.
Yep.
And he had some really nice things to say in the gate. But are you going to be playing Kieran Culkin's acceptance speech and how he put his wife in her place later on in the show?
We will. Okay. Best Supporting Actress went to Zoe Saldana, whose acceptance speech was a roller coaster. We were sobbing, and then we were laughing, and then we were sobbing again, and then we were cheering again. So again, we're going to play all these later. Later in the episode. Best Director went to Sean Baker for Anora. Of course, that's when he gave all the props to the sex workers that he worked with on this film to be able to get firsthand experience, to be able to make it feel very real and very accurate.
Who was that winner and what was that category for?
Sean Baker, Best Director for Anora.
Okay.
Best Original Screenplay, again, Sean Baker, Anora. Best Adapted Screenplay for Conclave. And then probably the biggest shock of the night for me was Best Animated Film because I was like, oh, duh, Inside Out 2. That's the one that everyone was talking about. No, I went to a movie called Flow.
Yeah, but it's about a kitty cat. You love your cats.
Yeah, love that for them. Okay, are we ready to know who won our Oscar betting ballot?
So go from worst to best.
Do you want to take a guess at who did the worst?
It had to be me.
Because I didn't pick Anora for any of them.
I think I was trying like halfway through. Then when I realized it was 80 of them, I was like, all right.
Okay, so the worst went to Mo.
Yep.
You got one correct. Okay. I think it was
out of 23.
I think it might have been cinematography, the Brutalist. I didn't mark which one.
That's the only one I tried.
Yeah.
that's the only one.
No. You got Zoe Saldana.
Oh, yeah.
Actress in a leading role.
That was
supporting role.
That was the name I recognized. So I was like, let's go. So.
Congrats on
congratulations.
Your one out of 23.
Thank you very much.
In second place, is it me or is it Kristen?
I think I'm going Kristen.
It's Kristen.
Yeah.
You got three. I think you also chose The Brutalist for one, and The Brutalist won like 1,000 awards. And Kieran Culkin.
Yes.
And
okay, cool.
One other one.
Okay.
You want to know who came in first place out of us three?
Who?
Me.
Yep.
Me. I got five, which I was shocked by. I think it's because I sat with Rebecca for a majority of watching the Oscars. And I was like, okay, tell me who I need to quickly put in before I put in my ballot.
Well, congratulations on your victory.
Thank you. And if Bert decides to give me his little ballot, I will see if he beats me.
I'm pretty sure he didn't.
Probably not.
The Bert Show.
Sometimes it feels like everything comes with strings attached. So you think maybe somebody's just being nice, but turns out, no, they want something from you. And intern Sadie, it all started with the free soda, and then it just snowballed out of control.
Yep, nothing's ever free anymore, apparently. So this was back when I was probably finishing up high school was when all this started. So I was maybe 17, 18, and my mom and I used to frequent this gas station, and this guy would always give us free fountain drinks that worked there. He'd be like, oh, just walk out. It's fine. Like, it's just one drink, two drinks, whatever.
Well, that was nice of him.
Super nice of him.
Did you guys have your go-to convenience store growing up?
Not really, because as a New Yorker, you pretty much go to bodegas most of the time.
So did you have your, like, go-to bodega where everybody kind of knew you?
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, it was like two of them that were pretty popular on our block, so everybody knew everybody who were going to that store.
No, I grew up in the suburbs, so I was just stopping at whatever Wawa was closest to me if I was running out of gas.
So we had it was a Minute Mart that was down the street from us. It was right next to the Dairy Queen. And so we could walk down there, and it was Avery was his name. Wow. I don't know why I can still remember this. I remember what he looked like. Avery was his name that worked in the front. We would go in there all the time, and it was to the point, even when I was a kid, I could go down there and get my dad his Marlboro Reds and get my mom her Virginia Slims Menthol Ultra Lights, and he would sell them to us knowing, like, even though, I mean, I'm talking about, like, we were, like, kids. Mm-hmm. But he knew they were going to Jim and Sheila, so it wasn't a big deal.
See, in New York, I guess everybody called him Poppy, so we never really knew his real first name.
Oh, Poppy was the guy that working the bodega?
Yeah, that was his name.
I like it.
Well, so this guy, he was probably mid-30s at the time, so, like, a considerable age gap between him and I. And he never was, like, creepy towards me or anything. It was just very, like, kind, like, here's a free fountain drink for you and your mom. Like, never any red flags. It was just a kind transaction. And I haven't seen him probably since I was graduating high school. And I get, like, a little Facebook request, like a friend request.
From the gas station dude.
From the gas station dude. So I follow him. And I get a DM, and it started very friendly. Like, how have you been? Like, what are you up to? What are you majoring in? Yeah. Well, it turned into that, but very friendly to start off with. Like, went back and forth, caught up. Like, he couldn't figure out where he knew me from. And I'm like, no, remember, you used to give my mom and I the free drinks. And it turned into, like, little comments about my eyes and, like, how he always used to have a crush on me, which is kind of sick because I was a teenager.
And this is a grown man we're talking about.
This is a grown man we're talking about.
Like, how grown? Like, what if we had to guesstimate his age then and now, what would it be?
I would say, like, probably mid-30s. Oh. But I was probably, like, 17, 18.
Oh, so,
yeah. Yeah, grown enough.
He's twice your age.
Yeah, grown enough. But
so now this man in his 40s. Is hitting you up on Facebook, and this is just the dude that used to hook you up with the free soda pop.
Yeah, literally, I just thought it was no strings attached. He was just being nice to mom and I, but the little, your eyes this, like, I used to have a crush on you that, I didn't want to make it awkward. I didn't want you to have to switch gas stations.
Well, there's nothing more awkward than catching a case and ending up in jail because she's 17.
Yeah, I'm like, bold of you to assume I would reroute my gas station because you're a little freak. But
there's your sign that maybe you need to dial it back a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we go, like, back and forth. I kind of start, like, pulling back after those messages came through. And I just stopped answering after, like, the little freaky comments started coming in about, like, my physical appearance and whatnot. And this was, like, October of last year. So I haven't answered him. And I probably have gotten 12 messages over the course of, like, 6 months. And you would think, like, no response. Stop trying.
Take a hint.
No, after we hit double digits, like, you've blocked him, correct?
Oh, I've blocked and reported after the last one I got.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so the last one I got, again, I have not answered this man since October of 2024. The last message I got said, Facebook won't stop showing me you're online. You're too beautiful for me not to ask. How much for us to link up, Ma? See a different side of you. Smirky face, smirky face. Do I look like that kind of person?
He don't care if it's awkward anymore.
Over some free Coke Zero?
Oh, it escalated.
The audacity. Right. Don't even lie. It feels a little good, doesn't it?
I mean,
this man's willing to risk jail. Well, you're an adult now.
Yeah. Yes.
But, I mean, he's fessing up to a crime for your love.
And so you would have sent him a price.
How much? Like, how much should we pitch?
At least a case. At least a case. Since a 2 liter ain't going to cut it. But at least a case.
Have you seen inflation recently?
Yeah.
Life's expensive.
2 dozen eggs.
Yeah, tell him throw some eggs in there.
So, Mo, this is a thing, like a little insight to a lady brain. And I get where Abby is coming from here. No joke. So again, two things can be true at the same time. You can be completely repulsed by the, hey, Ma, you know, interaction. But at the same time, you're like, oh, how the audacity, how dare he? And then be like, I got it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
to be desired in that way is okay. I get it.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
I get it.
The Burt Show.
All right. So shifting gears here really quick. I have a question. Is this a bad mom or is this a creative mom? Okay. So this is a mom that has come up with a creative way of teaching her child the alphabet. All right. And it's not your typical alphabet. It's a designer alphabet. So this is from Casey-Jean on TikTok. And she came up with a new way to teach her kid the alphabet. And it has everything to do with designer labels. Now, a little fair warning. I'm not sure. There's a little bit of an accent. I don't know what the accent is. So it might be hard to understand some of the words. But I think you're going to be able to understand what she's teaching her child.
D is for
deer.
F is for etudes. F is for
fender.
G is for
gotcha.
K is for
hammers.
D is for easy my market. J is for
Jackman.
K is for
Kindle.
L is for
Louis Vuitton.
So D is for Dior. G is for Gucci.
It sure is.
F was for Fendi. H was for Hermes. And of course, that last one there, L was for Louis Vuitton. So, bad mom or creative mom?
I mean, initially, I just thought it was funny. But when I think about it, when I was a kid, I would try to relate things that I was learning to things that I like enjoyed to learn about. Like, I would relate it to sports or I would relate it to hip-hop, whatever I did in order to help myself learn it. So if it works and she's going to learn how to silent the H because of Hermes, I mean, I'm not really mad at it.
And there is a book on Amazon that you can buy that has a list of all of the designers.
She, I think, is a creative mom, but she's creating a very expensive habit. Because if you had taught me about Hermes at the age of 3, you best believe I would have been trying to get one at 18 at the Hermes store.
Facts.
Rolling up being like, hey.
All right, now another mom that we need to discuss. And so Ruby Frankie has a new documentary that is out. This was my favorite podcast that got turned into a docuseries, okay? And Ruby Frankie is this vlogger mom that just blew up. And when I say she blew up, they had millions of subscribers on YouTube. It was called 8 Passengers. It was her husband, and their 6 kids. They live in Utah. They are of the Mormon faith, and they just showcased everything and anything about their lives and their kids, okay? And she became super popular and became like a famous YouTuber because of this mommy vlog. Well, fast forward, the woman gets arrested for, here's a trigger warning, for, and I don't want to just say it outright because it's early, but for not taking good care of her children. We're just going to put it that way, okay? Mm-hmm. She's currently spending up to 30 years in jail.
Oh, my God.
30 years in prison. That's how bad it was, right? And so it's crazy because her entire family, and I'm, like, obsessed with this story, right? Because I find it, the whole, like, when you look at the human element of it and the fact that this woman became so famous peddling her parenting and then later down the road is now in prison for 30 years because of what she was doing behind the scenes. I just feel like there's a lot of lessons to learn here, right? Mm-hmm. So her entire family, her now ex-husband, who got kicked out of the house for a year, had no idea any of this was going on. It was all going on without his knowledge.
Do we know why he got kicked out?
Yes, because she Ruby ended up with this therapist, Jody Hildebrandt, and she basically brainwashed the entire family and had her thinking that he was demonic and the children were demonic, which is why she was acting the way she was, and kicked him out of the house. And he was, in order to be holy again, he could have no communication with any of his kids, no communication with his wife, none of that, right?
Okay.
So it's so messed up. So he is, he is doing the interviews. The two oldest children who had gotten kicked out of the house are doing the interviews, and they protected the faces of the younger children, right? But they have all this footage because she was a vlogger. Mm-hmm. So she had all this unaired footage. And this is some behind the scenes of her while she was filming. And this is stuff that obviously made the cutting room floor.
I always ask myself when I schedule a weekend, is what I scheduled worth? Hey, I'm still recording! Come on! Why am I hearing all this noise?
12:35, and we're trying to get ready for church. That's why.
Many, many of you in the last several videos have said, can we hear your kids play some Christmas music or sing some Christmas carols? I'm waiting for, like, to share a conversation with you.
I'm listening to you talk. I like to hear Ruby talk.
I'm cutting all of this out. Help me out here.
All of a sudden, it wasn't enough to just interact with her. I had to interact with the camera. And she would pull it out and she would say, Kevin, this camera is...
So it... Yeah, so this is a new documentary on Hulu, and it's just watching how someone can get brainwashed. Mm-hmm. And then her oldest daughter, and I wanted to highlight her, I'm really proud of her, she is now in Congress trying to pass laws about family vlogging and making sure, like, you can't do it without children's consent. There's payment for the kids as well if they're going to be, like, involved. Like, she's really trying to make sure she looks after the little ones who kind of get sucked into this, and they don't have a say.
Right. Good for her using that negative experience to make change.
Well, if you see your favorite influencer moving to a state like Nashville, there's a rumor going around that a lot of the reason that a lot of these influencers are relocating is because California is starting to enact those laws that protect those kids where you have to pay them, and states like Tennessee don't have them yet. So if you clock that, it's probably the reason why.
That's so freaking scary.
The Burt Show.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
As promised, I need to give you the fish update. For those that don't know, there was a fish tank back in the phone screening room because the Burt Show had won a couple of fish at the fair. And so fish one, fish two, fish three were living for a little bit in that fish tank. But slowly but surely, all three of them met their demise.
One of them tried to get up out of there.
Literally.
And succeeded. Spiritually.
Yes. So I hit up Fish Daddy, a.k.a. Jackson Kim. And I was like, all right, is this tank, like, screwed up? Or are we just, like, not really good at taking care of fish? And he's like, no, the tank is fine. So for Christmas, my husband and I gave our son Jimmy a fish tank and three fishies. He has a blue one, and like a reddish, pinkish one, and a yellow one. Tootie, Dinosaur, and Tiger.
Got it.
So I came on here and told you guys the saga of Dinosaur, who woke up and didn't have any more stripes.
Because,
you know, when fish hit puberty, they lose their stripes.
Everybody know that.
Yeah. Duh.
Biology 101, duh. Pick up a book. Read, losers.
That's it. You know what I mean?
So when we were out of town for Bert's big adventure, my husband is now responsible of the fish tank, which, by the way, is my responsibility. He and I shook on it. Spat in our palms and shook on it that I am the one responsible for keeping this puppy clean and keeping the fish alive and taking care of them, because he wanted nothing to do with it. He wanted nothing to do with it. But here I am out of town for 5 days, so he's got to take care of the fish. Dinosaur 2.0?
Uh-uh.
Oh, no.
No. Come on.
Not 2.0.
Not 2.0.
The one that hit puberty and lost his stripes?
Yeah. Lost it all now.
Yes,
lost
he did.
Lost his stripes, lost his life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Bart had to rush out while Jimmy was at school and get Dinosaur 3.0. So Dinosaur 3.0 is hopefully thriving. And then there's Tiger.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Come on.
So we also lost Tiger.
Okay. We still so got one, though. Right?
That is three fit. Well, so we replaced Dinosaur. So now there's Tootie and Dinosaur living. We've never replaced Tiger, and Jimmy hasn't said anything. I was supposed to go get a Tiger replacement, and, you know, life be life, and I just never got around to it. And the kid, he thinks Tiger's hiding. Like, he thinks he's hiding somewhere. And hasn't said anything about it. I have tested the ammonia. The ammonia's fine. It's clear. Like, we're feeding them just the right amount. Not too much, not too little. Why are these fish dying is what I need to know.
It's the tank, right?
Do we think the tank is haunted? Like, I mean, do we think the tank is cursed?
If a home can be haunted, I don't see why a tank can't.
No, fish are the perfect example of having to teach your children about death, because fish death is inevitable. I had so many fish growing up that would die within like 3 days. They seem like they're the easiest to take care of because you just sprinkle a little food in them, you watch them, and they gurgle around. But I'm telling you, I have not owned a fish that lasted longer than a couple months.
There might be a simple explanation. You might have high maintenance fish, or Bart sabotaged you and killed him so he didn't have to deal with it. But goldfish apparently are supposed to have a 20-gallon tank per fit. Like, it's 20 gallons for the first one, then 10 gallons for each additional one. So you got three fish up in there, it should be a 40-gallon tank.
Yeah, we ain't got no 40-gallon
tank. Yeah, no one has room for a 40-gallon tank in their house. Is it the aquarium?
For one little goldfish. And these aren't the goldfish that grow big, like in a koi pond. Like, these are like the tetra glowfish.
Yeah.
And somebody hit me up, and they were like, yeah, no, those are like inbred within an inch of their life, which is why, like, they don't really thrive.
They're deep south fish? Yeah. They're Alabama rolled tide fish?
And so I don't know. I don't know if I should, like, should we just, like, nix the tank, or do I just keep on buying replacement fish?
Time for a fish fry.
You ain't gonna get much. It's gonna be like a little amuse-bouche of a fish.
Keep going. Keep replacing the original members the same way they do with, like, the Temptations. No, nobody. No, nobody ever knows.
That's so jacked up. All right, so yeah, we're losing them left and right.
The Burt Show.
All right, Mikey, you had a mission, sir. And also, I'm going to give you another homework assignment here really quick. Next time you come back in, I think we need to have a little messy Mikey at mic music. What do you think?
Oh.
At what? Okay.
You're at bat music. But you're at mic music. For, like, when you come on for segments like this, when we send you out to act a fool, I feel like you need appropriate music to go into this brand of stupidity that we are pigeonholing you into.
Okay. Why don't you make one up right now on the spot?
You do have your own music.
Oh, well, yeah, you had a SoundCloud, right?
Yeah, I do.
Do we have the Rice song easily accessible?
We should. It's a hit.
Guys, Chad broke out into the Rice song randomly the other day. Like, a week ago was like, how many rice are in a bowl of rice? And I was like, sir, do not. We are in our marital bed. Do not fuck Mikey Wakefield.
All right, for those that don't know about the Rice song, that are like, what the heck are you guys talking about?
That's my claim to fame. I was a SoundCloud rapper for like a year and a half. Retired after 55 albums and 55 songs. And the thing was that I could only record it one time. I'd make a beat, and then I give myself one chance to record it and just say whatever I want, but then I have to force myself to post it. And that adds up to some rough music.
Okay. All right, so we'll have that the next time you come on. But what was your homework assignment?
This was a very rough one. My nerves have never been this high, but
you don't like doing this, do you?
It's rough. It's really rough. I hate. So this time part of it was gathering the attention of an entire bar, and I just feel so annoying, but
it didn't have to be a bar. You could have walked into anywhere. Like a Nordstrom Rack if you wanted to.
Yeah. One of them was not a bar. Well, here's the game is I went out to a crowd and announced a big piece of news. And you guys are going to guess if the crowd was excited for me or if they completely ignored me altogether.
Okay.
Got it.
So, the first one is I did it at Fado, which is an Irish pub, which is like a fancy one.
Fado is the equivalent of like an Applebee's.
Have you seen how many glass windows they have in there? It's fancy.
As opposed to windows equate fancy?
Oh, yeah. They got good glass in there.
Okay.
They got tinted.
Good tinted glass. That's all right.
So the first one, I announced that a long-lost relative died and left me millions of dollars.
Okay. So you're at Fado. This is the announcement you're making. Do we have a time of day that this is happening?
This is about 7 o'clock at night. And also, okay, it's worth mentioning that I act like I'm on a phone call, uh-huh, and I just received the news.
All right. So we have to guess now if we think the crowd cheered for you or they did not cheer for
That's
you.
That's correct.
I'm thinking I've been to said establishment. 7 o'clock is early. I don't think people are into their pints as much. So I'm going to say you did not get one single cheer.
Okay.
I've never been there, but 7 o'clock, I feel like people were probably confused by the news. They didn't know what to do. So I'm going to assume that they did not cheer.
Listen, the vibes in an Irish pub are immaculate, no matter what time of day. So I'm going to say, at the very least, there were a couple of people in the back that did cheer for you.
Okay.
Hit me.
What do you mean? No. No. No way. No. Hey, everybody. My great aunt died and she's leaving me $1 million. You don't get it? I don't even got it yet. I would buy everyone around. I don't got anything yet. Thank you. I did. I got $1 million. My great aunt died.
And the Oscar goes to
Not Mikey.
I got him there in the back half.
Okay, so we might have to, I think we're fudging the rules of the game. I feel like when you make your initial big announcement, if nobody cheers, that counts as a failure.
Okay.
The fact that you had to talk them into cheering for you.
So they didn't even offer condolences. They were just like, buy us a ring.
So it was like some kind of bachelorette party, like right behind us. Everybody turned their heads whenever I made the announcement, and then they were like, idiot, went back to their time.
Yeah.
But then the girls right behind, they were confused about what I said. And then whenever they said, what? And I said, my great aunt died. And then they cheered. So they're not really cheering for my $1 million. I think they're having my aunt's death.
Okay. All right. So, like, all right. I don't know how to feel about that one. That one's a little iffy. Give us the next scenario.
Okay. The next scenario is I'm at Willie's. Whatever that is. It's like some, they just have a bunch of outdoor seating. It's like a Mexican place or something.
Oh, yeah.
I was there and I had to announce that my divorce was final.
Okay. You're announcing your divorce. And Willie's is like a, I wouldn't say it's fast food, but it's like Chipotle, Qdoba-esque.
It's close. Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of the vibes we're talking about here.
You're trying to go places you know you'll never go again.
Yes. 100%.
Be like, all I'm right, never walking in here again. They have really have a very wide array of salsas, though. I kind of highly recommend Willie's. All right, so Mo, we're going to start with you first. You think they cheered or they didn't cheer when they found out Mikey's divorce was finalized?
I'm going to say, once again, in the same vein as the first one, people were confused on your announcement and didn't know what to do, so they didn't cheer.
I'm going to say they ignored you. They're going to be too busy with their queso and their margs, okay, as they should be.
I mean, I love you, Messy Mikey, but you're not really selling this, man, when you're making your announcement. So I'm going to say you didn't get any cheers either.
Okay.
Hey, so it's a done deal? It's over? It's over?
So awkward.
That's amazing. Thank you for all your help, sir. Hey, everybody. Sorry. My divorce is final.
Hell yeah.
Thank you.
How old are you?
23. Yeah. She was 50. She looked like Roseanne Barr, though. Thank you. Thank you. Let's go.
I think that counts, right?
Because he got a hell yeah.
I got one hell yeah.
He got a hell yeah. My man cheered.
Oh, I don't know if that was a cheer so much as like, he felt that in his soul. He related to that too much.
All right, so again, we have to define the difference between cheering and just acknowledging a stranger has made an announcement.
Okay, that's fair.
All right, here we go. Last scenario. What do you got, Mikey?
The last one is I have to announce that I got my STD test back and I do not have gonorrhea. And this one was performed in Smissold Bar with Jackson and Rebecca. We went to trivia. After trivia was over, there was a bunch of people playing pool, and I stood up on the stairs and made my announcement.
So Smissold Bar, you're in a drinking establishment. What time of day are we talking about here?
This is probably close to 10 now.
Oh, okay. All right. So now you're probably well liquored up to give you the courage to even do this
one. Yeah, my nerves were just shot.
Okay.
You need a couple shots for that one.
Yeah. We're going to go with you. Do you think they cheered finding out that Mikey is gonorrhea free?
So I saw this video on social media because I happen to follow Jackson Kim on the Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I watched this go down. So I feel a little biased because I'm pretty sure I saw.
Well, no, it was Rebecca's and she cut it before there was any reaction.
Okay. I feel like they weren't going to cheer for you. Got to be honest.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know why people aren't excited for your accomplishments, Mikey, but I don't think they cheered for you either.
I want to support you, bro. So I'm just going to say they cheered, even though I don't think they did.
All right, here we go. Did they cheer when they find out Mikey does not have gonorrhea?
Hey, doctor. Yeah. All clear? I'm all good.
Attaboy.
You found your people.
There's a bunch of guys in suits that cheered for me.
You're divorced, gonorrhea free, and you have $1 million.
I know, it's a good week.
You're living the life.
It's a good week.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.